before we begin the astral body. Almighty God, our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that we as Thy children can even come here to have this time of learning from Thy Word, to have fellowship one with another, to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Truly, O Lord, Thou hast been good to us, and have seen us through all the many trials and tribulations of the week, and provided us with all our needs. And so Thy children are gathered here to learn more about Thee and Thy Word which is truth, Thy Word which sanctifies us, Thy Word which tells us how we may indeed live a life that is pleasing unto Thee. So Father, help us, cause us to understand the spiritual things that are written in Thy Word, with the aid of Thy Holy Spirit. Because we know that spiritual things must be spiritually discerned, and without the help of Thy Holy Spirit, we will be unable to comprehend these truths. So help us, O Lord, and cause us to hearken unto Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The armor of God is drawn and depicted over here in this diagram, that of a Roman soldier. And why did Paul use such a diagram? In the book of Ephesians, well, we dealt with that in the first lesson, the first message, and that first message tells us that as Christians we are not in peacetime, but Christians are in war, not the kind of war that is found in the Middle East now, where you have in Syria a civil war and there are people shooting at one another, throwing chemical weapons at one another, shooting bazookas at one another. But a spiritual war. A war against Satan and his minions. Satan and the fallen angels. In the spiritual realm. So this is not a kind of war that could be won with nuclear weapons. No matter how smart you are, no matter how strong you are, you may score goal in your IPPT. And now I think the primary school people are very happy because they are going to have physical fitness test once every 2 years. So those that are not so fit, they are very happy. Only after 2 years, they need to go for test. But those who are very fit and every time can score goal, they'll be very sad. Because every time can get money from the army, right? Those who can score goal, very happy. Every time want to go for physical fitness test, can get money. And then they say, wow, I'm so strong, I can win the battle. No! No matter how smart, no matter how strong, you can't win this battle because it's in the spiritual realm. And so, since this battle is in the spiritual realm, we better know our enemy and we better know our weapons. So in the first lesson, we saw what kind of enemy we have, and the kind of enemy we have is one that is very wily, one that is very clever, one that is very powerful, Satan himself. And we read from the book of Job, we realize how powerful Satan is. Satan can not only tempt us by using our weaknesses, he knows exactly what kind of weaknesses we have, and we will aim for that weak spot. Just like in the Greek mythology, we have this character called Achilles. Achilles is supposed to be a very strong warrior, right? It's a fiction story, right? So a very strong warrior. Every part of his body is invisible except for one point, which he says, you know which point is it? Heel, right? That's why you have the term Achilles heel of a person. So aim for the heel so they can defeat Achilles. So the devil knows our Achilles heel, the devil will purposely aim for the Achilles heel. And he does so in a way that is very methodical. He does not go shooting bullets anywhere he likes, but he will make sure he will be like a sniper, he will take aim, he will wait until you are most unprepared, and then he will shoot you. And then you will fail in the battle. And then he is also very powerful. We realize that he can control nations. We realize that he can control your health and your sicknesses. We realize that he can control the weather. All these things we cannot control, but Satan and his minions can. Of course, with restriction from God's permission. So that is the limit of his power. So therefore, if we want to win this battle,
we must make sure we depend on that one power that can limit Satan, that can defeat Satan, the infinite power of God Himself. And so, bearing this in mind, Paul writes here, you must be strong in the power of God. And how to be strong in the power of God? Well, Paul also tells us in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, which is depicted in this picture here, the whole armor of God. Whole armor, meaning that not any one part of this armor must be off. Every part must be put on. The focus is on the whole. The whole armor is one whole word, panoply of God. So as long as you are missing one component, it's not called the armor of God. This whole armor of God must be put on, and when you do that, when Satan comes and tempts you very sorely, and that is the evil day, he come and tempt you very sorely from all directions, just like in the book of Job. You will find that you are able to stand. You are able to withstand. First thing, you are able to go against the tide, like a river coming against you. You are able to stand against that tide, and not only to stand against the tide, but to continue, remain standing after the battle. Not half dead. Not dead, but alive. Full of energy. That is how Paul depicts us victorious in the spiritual warfare. We can be victorious like this so long as we have the armor of God on. The problem with us is we sometimes do not take the human responsibility in putting on this armor of God. Paul tells us, put it on. And when you put it on, you will be able to stand. Stand therefore, a command, verse 14. A Christian is not supposed to fail in a battle. A Christian is not supposed to fall in a battle. God requires us to be good soldiers of Christ. We must fight a good warfare. We are not to be half-dead. We are not to be lazy. We must fight for Him. This good fight of faith. So, stand therefore. Fight and remain standing. Be victorious. How to be victorious? You must put on the whole armor of God, and here Paul begins to describe the whole armor of God in its various components. First component, which we have discussed in the second message, that is the belt of truth. Having your loins girded about with truth. And we have discussed what this image of girded about means. It means being ready. Imagery can be taken from the Passover in the book of Exodus, whereby God tells the Israelites, the children of Israel, look, today is going to be a Passover for you. The angel of the Lord is going to pass through the whole of Egypt. Those that do not have the blood sprinkled upon the upper doorpost and the two side posts, the firstborn son will be killed in those families. But you will put the blood upon the top doorpost and upon the side posts, and then you will eat the Passover lamb. As you eat the Passover lamb, make sure that you have your feet shod with your sandals. Make sure you have your clothes girded on with your belts girded about. The imagery of one is of one that is ever ready to leave. Because once opportunity comes, Pharaoh says, okay, you may go. The children of Israel must be very quick to say, okay, we are going to go. Now is the time to go. No time to waste. They will ask the families of Egypt for gold and silver, which is their just payment for being slaves in Egypt all these years, and then they will quickly leave. So, be ready, in other words. And so the belt we have discussed its function, it will hold the clothes in place. The Roman soldiers will wear a type of clothes that is like a tunic with a skirt on. And then if you don't have your belt on, you are going to be hindered in warfare. You can't, your skirts will be flapping about, and then you will fall up, down, left, right, center. Before you can even meet the enemy, he will come to you, he will kill you. So therefore the belt. And what's the thing that will make you ready for war is called the truth. And we know from the scriptures that the truth is none other than the word of God. John 17 and Javan. 17 verse what? 17, right?
So, must remember,
John 17, 17, very easy. 17 and 17. Okay? Thy word is true. So the word truth here is also a reference to the word of God. Not just truthful behavior, but truth itself, the word of God. So having your loins girt about with truth. Truth of God's word is the thing that will make you ready for battle. And it's very interesting that the last component of the armor of God is listed in verse 17 as the sword of the Spirit, which is also the word of God. The word of God is the one that prepares you for battle. It gives you your foundation, helps you to be ready. How are you to fight the battle of God? Your only offensive weapon is also the word of God. So the whole fight, the whole battle of God begins with the word of God and ends with the word of God. So the word of God is very important. We must know the word of God true and true. Okay, and you will find this theme being repeated again and again as we study the armor of God. So please love the word of God, please know your Bible very well, and the best time for you to get your foundations right is when you are a youth, like what you are right now. Because youth is the, I do not know whether you will agree or not, but youth is the best time where you have the most time to learn the word of God. Many of those who are among you, those older ones, university, they are soon going to work, they will go to, one day you will ask them, will you choose study or will you choose work? They will sure say they want to study because when they work, they realize they have no time or they are very tired after work. Youth is the best. So make sure you get your foundations right. Be ready for the spiritual warfare when you are young. Okay? Today we are going to go to the second component. So, okay, now we talk about truth. My loins are girded about with truth. Then what? Is that enough? Can I go to battle just having a belt and some skirt on and then go and fight? Cannot. So you need other component, and the next component that Paul asks them to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You hear the word having on. I have the picture of being clothed with the breastplate of righteousness. And it is in the middle voice. Now what do we mean by the middle voice? In other words, you yourself have to take that responsibility of putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Having, in other words, you can translate this way. Having on yourself the breastplate of righteousness. Your responsibility. No one else can put for you. The soldier cannot go to another soldier and say, hey, can you put on for me? By the time you go on to put on for you, the enemy comes. No way. You must do it yourself. Your own responsibility. And remember here, it is a duty because it's connected to the beginning of verse 14 that is stand therefore. So it's a duty. You have no option. You must take that responsibility out of your own goodwill. You must be willing to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And why is this very important? Now you look down here. It is drawn correctly here. This is the breastplate of righteousness. And drawn very correctly, it is from the throat. In fact, the word breastplate is where we get the word throat, thorax, from the throat. All the way from the throat, downwards to probably this area here. And this is extremely vital, the area in which the breastplate covers, because it's where all your vital organs are, right? Especially one specific vital organ in which it protects, which is your... But what special... part of the body protect, right? Yes, your neck. Beside your neck, what else? What do you have around here? Very vital. Heart, right? Heart protects the heart. And we know that the Roman soldiers are famous for making their armor with metal, especially iron. And so this breastplate will usually cover the front part here. And some pictures, they will sometimes draw the Roman soldiers as having the back unprotected. Now, that is not a very common piece of armor, actually. The most common piece is that it will cover all around, so including your back. So it will give you full protection of all your vital organs that are from your
float down all the way until your somewhere in your stomach area. Right? So breastplate, very important. If you look at how they fight the war during last time, all with swords and arrows and spears. And sometimes the Roman soldier, their breastplate can be so strong, a person charged with them with a sword, he knocks them on the breastplate and then boom, the sword just ricochet off. Whether from the front or whether from the back. Back is even more important, isn't it? Sometimes you get a surprise attack. People just try to stab you from the back. The armor protects you. And that is the picture down here. The protective armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, protects you from the attacks of the evil one or all your vital parts that gives you life. This breastplate protects you. So therefore, you must make sure that you have it on. Anybody who do not have it on is very foolish. He is exposing himself to attack that can easily harm him. And for the Roman soldier, don't wear the breastplate, he can die. Of course, we know that anybody who is born again will not die. Right? You already have eternal life, but you will definitely fall in your spiritual warfare. You will definitely fall to the vows of the devils. You will definitely be tempted by him. And that is exactly what he wants, remember. He wants to make you fall in your spiritual walk. He wants you to grow in Christ. He wants your faith to be strong. And he wants your weakness to be very bad in the world out there, so that people will not love Christ. People will hate Christ. People will say bad things about Christ and will throw down the name of Christ. And I think that if you call yourself a Christian, you don't want that, because you are a follower of Christ. You love Christ very much. So therefore, you must have it on. Out of the Holy Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is that breastplate. Question is, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Matthew! What is righteousness? You see, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Just few verses, right? So, main focus on righteousness, right? So, we will grill one another until we will understand what is righteousness. So, what is righteousness? Today, I will also ask more ladies. Normally, I don't ask the ladies, right? Very nice, right? But today, I'm not feeling so nice. So, I will ask the ladies. Okay, Gina, fair. Tianjin say fair, so you all remember. He's the one who say fair. I can ask ladies. Matthew, what is righteousness? Don't need to go to other places. Like if I ask you first, somebody, your friend can ask you, what is righteousness? How will you answer? Okay, Matthew, let me ask you another question. Okay, maybe help you. Who is the one that determines what is right? God, right? So righteousness is not defined by man. Righteousness is defined by God. And how do you know what is right? From where? Can you see God? No, you can't see God. You can't see God. Then how do you know what is right? Correct, Bible. So righteousness is defined by God, and you can find that righteousness defined here right in the Bible, right? Whatever God says is right, is righteousness. Whatever God says is evil, that is not righteousness, right? So righteousness is opposite to that which is evil, that which is wicked. Very good. Okay, Matthew, appoint someone else. Girl. So any girl that is appointed by you is Matthew's fault, not mine. Huh? Matthew, appoint one lady. Sorry? Brittany, okay, Brittany, appoint another lady. Rachel is attending university now. Okay, ask a more difficult question, Rachel. Cannot, Okay, Rachel, also ask you an easy one. Are you righteous? Easy, right?
Are you righteous?
Yes.
You are righteous, huh? So you have no sin. Oh, in the sight of God, you have no sin, huh? Really? Do you sin? You sin. And yet, in the sight of God, you have no sin. How come? Oh, because you repent, so you have no sin. Is that the case? So you repent, so you have no sin. Jesus died for you, so in the sight of God, you are righteous. How so? How so? How come Jesus, Jesus, so powerful, he died for you, and then suddenly you are righteous. So, did Jesus die for the people outside the street? Including the unbeliever? No, Jesus didn't die for them. So I cannot, so if I invite people for the gospel rally, I cannot tell people, Jesus Christ loved you. He died for all of you so that you may find salvation. Can I say that? Because I remember Ram Koshi said that recently. You know, all those English service, you all heard, right? Ram Koshi did say that, right? Jesus died for you and me, right? If not, at least I know my own pastor, Dr. Jeffrey Koo, in the second last gospel meeting, he will surely say that, or he will always say that. Jesus died for you and me, so all of you in the salvation. So can I say that? I can say that because my pastor say that, right? My principal in FEBC say that, right? So I can say that. Now that is true, okay? Because we know from John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, right? And he gave his Son for who? For the world. World means world. Don't come and say the world is the world of only the believers. World means world. Okay? Next time we will deal with that when we come to that. Okay, take note. Okay, so Jesus died for you and then you have righteousness. How so? Okay, appoint a boy. Better make sure he can answer. Jing Kai. Oh, Jing Kai. Okay, here. Okay, Jing Kai, how is it that, are you righteous, Jing Kai? I asked the same question, but better ask.
Same as
well. Say her. So she is she righteous?
In the sight of God.
Oh, in the sight of God she is righteous. Okay, why are you righteous in the sight of God?
You see that Christ died for us, his blood and wash our sins away. That in his sight we are covered by the blood.
That's the answer. When you die, Christ washed away your sin, and then when Christ washed away your sin, not only did he wash away your sin, but he also clothed you with his righteousness. Alright, so that you are righteous in the sight of God. So, ask that Rachel, you help her, right? So I ask her that. Okay, Rachel, appoint another girl. Okay, Kristen. Kristen is not in university, but she is in tertiary institution also, right? Nanyang Poly. A little easier on her because recently she's sick, and then she's recovering right now. She's like me, every easily get flu. It's like silence. Okay, Kristen, are you holy? Are you holy? Yes, no? No, no. Yes, no, no, no. Okay, ask another lady. Your sister, right? Okay, Chloe. Chloe, are you holy? Yes, Chloe is holy. Wow, very good. Okay, Chloe is holy. Do you sin, Chloe?
Yes.
And so you are holy. You sin and yet you are holy. Whitney, what did Chloe say? Oh, she don't know. I don't know whether you're holy. Okay, so ask one of the boy, right? Okay, ask one boy. Step 1 to step 4. Ooh, you point in this direction. I say the name. Okay, Javon. Okay, Javon, appoint another boy.
You answered just now.
Wow.
Then my Guahao can. Okay, Guahao, are you holy? Guahao is holy, yeah. Okay, Guahao. Let us turn to Hebrews 12, 14, right? Okay? Now Guahao is holy, yeah? Not Guahao University already, so must ask different questions. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. So Guahao is holy, yeah? Guahao also righteous, yeah? Hebrews 12, verse 14. So, Guahao, can you see God? Cannot. Then what comes Hebrews 12, 14 say, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God, see the Lord. In terms of physical, but can you approach God in prayer?
Yes.
So, because you are holy, you can approach God in prayer, right? Because of Christ, therefore you are holy. And you can approach God. Because of Christ, therefore you are righteous, so you can approach him in prayer. So in that sense, you can see the Lord. Lah. And then next time when you go to heaven, you can also see the Lord. In the sense of
he's the Lord as in Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Can I approach him? Very good. Then, look at verse 14 carefully, okay? Follow peace with all men. Follow, command, and holiness. So I'm supposed to pursue, the word follow there is talk about pursue. Okay? Pursue peace with all men, and also pursue holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you have holiness? You say you have, right? Why do I need to pursue holiness?
Two different kinds. I mean, you can be. Okay, let's say for righteousness, when we say we are imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so we are positionally, we are declared righteous in the Son of God. That's why our prayers, God will answer us. But because we are still in the flesh, so we still sin. And therefore, sometimes we also fall into sin. And if we don't repent, God says he will not hear us because of the sins that we committed. So, in a sense, there is this sanctification process where we are progressively, practically, we are progressively becoming more and more holy. So we can try to be more holy so that we sin less and so that we do that which is right according to God's word.
Okay. You all understand what Paul is saying? Don't understand, but he answered correctly. Okay, when you talk about Christ's righteousness, like what Rachel and what Jing Han has said just now, and like what Guahao has said just now, and some not so sure lah, but then I think they will agree. Right, you all will say that you are born again, and you all have Christ's righteousness clothed upon you. Right, so in the sight of God, you are righteous. That is in terms of your position. That is what we call positional righteousness. That's our position. Okay, positional righteousness. Positional sanctification. Positional holiness. Our position before God. But what about practically in our lives? Practically in our lives, do we still sin? Do we still need to grow in our holiness? Do we need to grow in the knowledge of God's word, in our righteousness? We still do, right? How many of you here have perfect knowledge of God's word? No, because if we have, we don't need to come here to learn God's word. I also need to learn God's word. I also need to read God's word every day. I also go to FEBC to study. All of us need to grow in God's word. So there are things that we still need to know. Right? And we will grow experientially also in the knowledge of God's word, in righteousness. And as we grow, we will be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We still do sin in this life. And so therefore, we also need to grow spiritually in the Lord. We need to grow in our holiness, and that is what we will call progressive righteousness, or progressive sanctification, or progressive holiness. So, yes, positionally before God, God looks at you, yes, you are righteous, but does that mean that you are supposed to stop growing in holiness? No. If you say so, then you will be like some of the mega churches in Singapore. Maybe the best way to explain this to you is to use a real life example. This one happened in one of the Bible study groups in the university. In fact, it's in the FCM. We used to have one lady from a mega church we attend. At that time, my teacher was Brother Nelson Berry. I hope he can come back to FEBC. He's African. And then so we were gathering in one of the condominiums. You know, they have the special event hall. Is it an event room? Fashion room, right? Yeah, my wife was there. So we're there in the function room, and then we sat down, and then we had Bible study. And then this lady who came for the Bible study, after, at the end of it, she was quite angry with our Bible study leader. Why was she very angry with the Bible study leader? Because of one thing that she learned in the church, and she couldn't agree with us. What did she say? She said this: I have already been forgiven by Christ. Why do I still need to repent for my sin every day? Do you understand what she's trying to say? I have already been forgiven by Christ. Why do I need to repent for my sin every day? In other words, now because Christ has already forgiven my sin, I can do whatever I like. It doesn't matter. I can tell lie. I don't need to repent. I can steal somebody's handphone. I don't need to repent. I can slap Matthew on the face. I don't need to repent. I can do whatever I want because Christ has already cleansed me from all my sin. Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem? That is what will happen if you do not understand of this, do not understand this doctrine of righteousness correctly. Yes, you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, but that does not mean you do not need to keep seeking and growing in the righteousness of Christ. I understand the difference. You still need to continue to know the Bible well. You still need to continue to grow in righteousness well. You still need to continue to grow in Christ's likeness. That is why in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, which Matthew can memorize, right? What is Matthew chapter 6 verse 33? Matthew, read for us. Right, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first, again a command, and a command to keep consistently in your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, do we have the kingdom of God already in our hearts? Yes, we do. Do we already have the righteousness of God? We do. Then why does Jesus Christ here say, but you must continue to seek ye first the kingdom of God? That means you put ye first priority in your life. You must always make sure you put ye first priority to seek the kingdom of God, and first priority in life to seek after his righteousness, if we already have it, because of what we said just now, regarding what the lady said. Yes, we may be, before God, we already close with the righteousness of Christ, but practically, we still need to grow in our righteousness of Christ, and practically, every day, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. So when we talk about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, it does not mean that we do not have the righteousness of Christ. Take note. It does not mean that we are not a Christian, that we can lose our righteousness and then we must make sure we take it back. We already have this righteousness of Christ, but we need to continue to pursue after it in this life, and we need to continue to put it on. In other words, our whole mind, from the very morning we wake up all the way throughout the day, must be directed towards this one goal in life. And that one goal in life is righteousness. Righteousness. Our whole mind must be programmed, must have this disposition towards righteousness and not any other thing. And we must make a consistent effort to pursue after this righteousness, because if not, we will shake it forth. Is this your mindset as you begin each day? What's the first thing that you think as you get up in the morning? Okay, don't pray. Like, you think to pray. Next time we'll talk about that. Yeah, we don't pray. Okay, so maybe we don't pray, we don't brush our teeth, anything, then we have a quiet time. Then after our quiet time, what occupies our thoughts? As we go to school or as we begin our holiday, what occupies our thoughts? Examining our lives very carefully. What occupies our thoughts? Oh, I must go to school. When I go to school, I will meet with my friend. After we meet our friend, let us talk about the night, all the nice things that occur in this world. Talk about the latest clothes and fashion. Talk about how to disturb the teacher that is coming in the next class because I don't like him.
what's the latest computer game that's coming out, and some of these computer games will not even be godly ones, very violent. Talk about magic. Talk about other people's behavior. All kinds of evil thinking come into our mind. And why does it come into our mind? And why do we so crave to go after these things? Because in the first place, we do not even make an effort to pursue after righteousness. It means nothing to us. We don't value it enough in our life. We don't put it first place in our life. And that is the problem. That is the problem. We take it for granted. It's very easy to point the finger at this lady who says, oh, I'm forgiven by Christ, so therefore I can do anything I want. It's very easy to point the finger at these people and all these mega churches and say they teach wrong doctrine. But practically ourselves, in our lives, many times we behave as good as the case. Anyway, Christ will forgive me once. So never mind. I can go and live a life of worldliness. I can go and live a life of sin. I can go and live a life of wickedness. And Christ will just forgive me. I don't need to pursue after righteousness. I don't need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when you have that thinking, that is where you fall into the hands of the devil. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say here. Or rather, what God's word is trying to say here. That is the thing we wish. We must be careful. Righteousness. How much do you value righteousness? How much do you value the breastplate of righteousness? Do you see it as absolutely vital in your life? Do you make it a point to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Do you make sure that you pursue holiness, without which no man shall be able to see the Lord? Follow holiness, that's not what Wohao has read. Follow holiness, pursue. It's not just walk after it, but has the idea of sparing no effort to make sure you obtain it. What is holiness to you? What is righteousness to you? Every day of your life. Every day. You wake up. You tell yourself today, I want to be a lazy bum. I'm going to sleep all the way at home. I'm going to play all the computer games at home. I'm going to make sure that I will while my time away for the holidays. You are not pursuing after holiness, is it? You're not pursuing after the breastplate of righteousness, aiming to put it on, which you know that in the scriptures it is commanded for you to do so out of your own goodwill. So easy. Before I do the trip of the path. So therefore, God. The best way to think God again, go back to foundation. Remember, you always go back to basics first, and the basic is always the word of God. That is why the first thing that Paul tells us in the imagery concerning the armor of God is having your loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth, which is none other than the word of God itself. Foundation. How to have the breastplate of righteousness, make sure that you put on. Go back to the word of God. Study it. And then pray to God. Ask God to help you. I want my whole life to be dedicated to following you. Oh Jesus, I have promised to follow thee all the way to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. Look at the world around me. It's tempting sounds I hear. Will not you protect me and put on the breastplate of righteousness that I may walk on this straight and narrow way? None other than gospel, none other than prayer, none other than your quiet time. So important that as you go along, you continue maintain that spirit of prayer and tell God, help me to be righteous. Help me to be righteous. Help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Help me to be a Christian. Help me to be holy in whatever I do, so that I may never shame your holy name, so that I may never fall to the devil. Help me
help me until you have the kind of conviction. The rescue of righteousness is very hard for you to go on. That is exactly what young Daniel is, isn't it? Young Daniel. Remember Daniel chapter 1? Daniel chapter 1, we always talk about Daniel. Daniel is not compromising in his faith. And in Daniel chapter 1, we see how Daniel, he refused to eat of the king's meat because the king's meat is offered to idols. We know all the king's meat in the Gentiles' time, they all offered to idols. And he doesn't want to be defiled by the king's meat. And most likely, the type of meat which the king is asked, the king provide, is also not according to the Levitical law which is written in the first 5 books. This out the reader, not permitted. Now, do you think young Daniel could have, and his three friends could have resisted the temptation to eat the king's meat if he just didn't think about pursuing after righteousness and just go straight into the school of training talents and then they expect to pass the test? No. Well, in the book of Daniel, he said that you must, they first determine in their heart that they will not defile themselves with the king's meat. That is what it means by having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It all starts from here, the heart. Put it on. I determine I must be righteous before God without compromise. Without compromise. But young Daniel, on the whole armor of God, including the breastplate of righteousness, and he did so all throughout his life, so much so that if you read the book of Daniel, you can't find any fault with him, isn't it? You can't find any fault recorded about Daniel, you can't find any fault recorded about Joseph. These two, and these two, strangely, they are politicians, which people say it's impossible to be a Christian. And yet, the two people in the Bible that had a so-called blameless record, no fault written about them, the two of them are politicians. To them, righteousness, integrity before God is opposed. Like Joseph, when Potiphar and Potiphar's wife tried them, Joseph, he said to Potiphar, he said to Potiphar's wife, look, how can I do this great wickedness and sin not against Potiphar but against God? Righteousness. He valued righteousness highly. He valued his integrity highly. What about you, children? What about you, youth? What about you, young adults? Not because there's some young adults here. Going to show my reason. Must them. Righteousness. So therefore, the vision. We talk about the whole armor of God. We talk about how we are engaged in the spiritual warfare and we cannot be in the spiritual warfare without the power of God and without the weaponry that is provided by God, which is spiritual weaponry. What is the spiritual weaponry? None other than the whole armor of God. And then we start talking about the whole armor of God, we start talking about the first basic thing that must be put on, that is the belt of truth. The belt of truth, which is none other than the word of God. So we talk about beginning the spiritual battle with the word of God. So you talk about the word of God. Then what else must you need to do? You must value righteousness very high. Make sure in your whole life you pursue after righteousness. Do you want to win this battle? Value righteousness. Make sure you pursue after it. And then you can begin your first step towards bringing this spiritual warfare. May God help us. Almighty God, our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that we as Thy children have Thy word which guide us into all truth. And
And God has shown us how indeed we fight warfare in the way that Jesus did. So help us, O Lord, to value righteousness in our life. Help us, O Lord, to have this mindset that will always seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To prize righteousness above all things in this world, so that we may be protected against the wiles of the devil. And we know that this armor of God cannot be put on simply by our own efforts. Yes, Lord, we have the human responsibility to do so. But Thou, O Lord, must also be the one that protects us. So help us, O Lord, and each step of the way, may Thou guard us and guide us, because Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom we may devour. And we don't want to fall into his clutches. So help us, O Lord, as we commit our own lives into Thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.